While so excellently ruling the universe, King Priyavrata once became dissatisfied with the circumambulation of the most powerful sun god. And circling Sumeru Hill on his chariot, the sun god illuminates all the surrounding planetary systems. However, when the sun is on the northern side of the hill, the south receives less light. And when the sun is in the south, the north receives less. King Priyavrata disliked the situation and therefore decided to make daylight in the part of the universe where there was night. He followed the orbit of the sun god on a brilliant chariot and thus fulfilled his desire. He could perform such wonderful activities because of the power he achieved by worshipping the Supreme Personality in Godhead. Prabhupada, there's a Bengali saying which describes the Samana so powerfully he can make the day, night, day, and day, night. That saying is currently because of the Prabhupada, Kriya Bhakta. His activities demonstrate how powerful he became by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna is known as Yogeshwar, the master of all mystic powers. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, wherever there is a master of mystic powers, victory fortune, other occupations are present. Devotional service is so powerful. When a devotee achieves what he wants to accomplish, it is not by his own mystic power, but by the grace of the master of mystic powers. Lord Krishna, by his grace, a devotee can accomplish wonderful things unimaginable, even to the most powerful scientist. From the description in this verse, it appears that the sun moves. According to modern astronomers, the sun sticks in one place, surrounded by the solar system. But here we find that the sun is not stationary. It is rotating in a prescribed orbit. This fact is corroborated in Brahma Samhita, Yashagyaya Brahma Ki Sambhara Kala Chakra. The sun is rotating in a fixed orbit in accordance with the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, according to Jyotirveda. The science of astronomy in the Vedic literature, the sun moves for 6 months on the northern side of Sumeru Hill and for 6 months on the southern side. We have practical experience on this planet that when there is summer in the north, there is winter in the south, and vice versa. The modern realistic scientists sometimes present themselves as knowing all the degrees of the sun, yet they are unable to offer a second sun like Maharaj Priyavrata. Although Maharaj Priyavrata devised a very powerful chariot as brilliant as the sun, he had no desire to compete with the sun god, for a Vaishnava never wants to supersede another Vaishnava. His purpose was to give abundant benefits to the material existence. Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur remarks that in the months of April and May, the rays of Maharaj Priyavrata's brilliant sun were as pleasing as the rays of the moon. And in October and November, both morning and evening, that sun provided more warmth than the sunshine. In short, Maharaj Priyavrata was extremely powerful. His actions extended his power in all directions. Next 31, when Priyavrata drove his chariot behind the sun, the rims of his chariot wheels created impressions that later became seven oceans, dividing the planetary system known as Bhumandal into seven islands. Purport, sometimes a planet in outer space is called islands. We have experiences of various types of islands in the ocean, and similarly the various planets divided into 14 lokas or islands in the ocean of space. As Priyavrata drove his chariot behind the sun, he created seven different kinds of oceans and planetary systems, which together are known as Bhumandala or Bhuloka. In the Gayatri Mantra, we chant Om Bhuva Sva Tatsavata Varanyam. Above the Bhuloka planet system is Bhuvarloka, and above that is Svargaloka, the heavenly planetary system. All these planetary systems are controlled by Savita, the sun god. By chanting the Gayatri Mantra, and just after rising early in the morning, one worships the sun god. The names of the islands are Jambu, Plaksha, Shalmali, Kusha, Tramsha, Shankha, and Pushkara. Each island is twice as large as the previous one. It is surrounded by liquid substance, beyond which is the next island. The seven oceans respectively contain salt water, sugarcane juice, liquor, clarified butter, milk, emulsified yogurt, and sweet drinking water. All the islands are completely surrounded by these oceans, and each ocean is equal in breadth to the island it surrounds. Maharaj Priyavrata, the husband of King Marjishmati, gave sovereignty over these islands to his respective sons, namely Agnidra, Idma, Jiva, Yogyabahu, Hiranyareta, Grita, Prishta, Meda, Titi, and Anviti Potra. Thus they all became kings by order of the father. It is to be understood that all the Dvipas or islands are surrounded by different types of oceans, and it is said herein that the breadth of each ocean is the same as that of the island it surrounds. The length of the oceans, however, cannot equal the length of the islands. According to Viraragavacharya, the breadth of the first island is 100,000 yojanas. One yojana equals 8 miles, and therefore the breadth of the first island is calculated 80,000 miles. The water surrounding it must have the same breadth, but its length must be more. King Priyavrata then gave his daughter Purjaspati in marriage to Sukracharya, who begot in her a daughter named Devayani. While Also, excellent ruling the universe, King Priyavata wants to satisfy with the circumambulation of the most powerful sun god. And circling Sumeru Hill on his chariot, the sun god illuminates all the surrounding planetary systems. However, when the sun is on the northern side of the hill, the south receives less light, and when the sun is on the south and north, it says less. King Priyavata disliked the situation, therefore decided to make daylight and part of the universe where there was night. He followed the orb of the sun god in a brilliant chariot and thus fulfilled his desires. He could perform such wonderful activities because of the power he had achieved by worshipping the Supreme Personality of God. So here are some of the exploits of Priyavrata. So he is very famous because of this particular act of following the sun as it orbits around Mount Meru in such a way that he created day where there is night. So in other words, the sun creates day and night by revolving around Mount Meru. So when it's on one side, there is day, the opposite side of the mountain is night. And the sun keeps turning, so therefore gradually all parts get day and night. So Priyavrata made an arrangement by which he also made a chariot more or less on the opposite side so that one could get light when there was nighttime. So that was the brilliance of his chariot, that it was almost like the sun. So he did this on a chariot, and the chariot had wheels, and the wheels produced oceans, because as he went around Mount Meru, there were troughs made in the earth by the wheels of the chariot. And therefore, these troughs became oceans, and the area of land between the troughs became islands, which are circular in nature like donuts. So we have rings of water around Mount Meru of different substances like salt water and ghee and yogurt, etc. As the oceans expand or get bigger as they go out, the oceans get bigger and the islands get bigger. So we have this arrangement on Bhumandala. So this technically is part of Earth. Earthly sphere. That is the plane of Bhumandala, above which we have Bhuvarloka and Svarga, etc. So the flat surface is called Bhumandala, and there here we have Sumeru in the middle, and then around that Varshas, including Varsha. And then we have the ocean, and then around the ocean we got an island, and then around that island we got another ocean and a ring, and then around that we got another island, and then another ocean, like that. So we get seven islands. And as described here, King Priyavrata had sons, and he gave sons charge of these different islands. So obviously they were habitable by people. People could live there. So in this way, Priyavrata ruled. So this particular pastime shows the great power of Priyavrata. But the important point here is that he got this power because of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So in this way, he could actually compete with the sun for various types of light or whatever. And it's also mentioned in the purport that seasons also became, he had the power to change the seasons. So if it was too hot in the summer, he could make it cool. And if it was cold in the winter, then he could make it warmer. So this was the power that Priyavrata had. In his commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti also describes how gradually he was able to produce the different seasons according to the Dakshinayan Uttarayana of the sun by getting on bigger and bigger chariots month after month, so that the sun goes higher and higher, or the light goes higher and higher, and therefore gives more and more light. So in this way, Priyavrata more or less fixed the types of seasons and the temperatures and whatever of the various places on Bhumandala by his endeavor. This, of course, is a little bit different from the modern conception of Earth, because if we go up in an airplane, then we'll see the Earth down below. If we go up further in a satellite, we'll see that Earth is round. So Bhumandala does not appear flat, but appears round. So then we'll have a little bit of a contradiction between what we see and then what the Bhagavatam says. Huh? So what do we believe? Is Earth round or flat? So if we say it's flat, everyone will say you're crazy. And because we can see if you go up in another spaceship that's not flat, it's round. On the other hand, we have this kind of observation of Bhumandala here, that it is a flat surface, more or less. So there's a contradiction between the terms. Now, how do we resolve that contradiction? So, of course, no devotee has really come up with a satisfactory explanation of that. The acharyas do not deal with it. They simply comment on the technical aspects of the measurements, etc., of the Bhumandala and the aspects of how the sun goes around, etc. And even in regards to the sun and how the sun goes around Mount Meru to create the different seasons, etc., even that, and day and night, even that is subject to controversy. How day and night are produced by what actually is the shadow of Mount Meru or whatever it is. And if so, why don't we see Mount Meru at all if it casts a shadow? So what is Mount Meru, where is it situated, etc.? So such questions will arise when we see this description. So, the fifth canto is dedicated to actually describing the structure of the universe, including the Bhumandala where we live. And if we look carefully, we'll see. It is a very symmetrical arrangement with Mount Meru in the middle, and then Jumbo Deep with all the varshas, including varsha around the main island, and then an ocean, and then an island, and then an ocean, then an island, like that, going out until the edge of the, well, not the edge of the universe, to a certain extent. Then there is a mountain range, and then after that, there's no more islands, etc. And it's just flat land out there, and it's more or less dark because the mountains are so high the sun cannot get past that. And then we have the edge of the universe, and that is Bhumandala. And then up above we get Bhuvarloka and Svargaloka and Mahajana Tapa and Svargaloka. So the sun is rotating actually relatively low in the Svargasphere. And then above that we have higher planetary systems in the universe. And of course we have all these planets in the Svargasphere, such as Mercury and Venus and Jupiter and Saturn and the Moon, etc., and Rahu, all more or less in the same sphere, different levels. And then below we got lower planetary systems down to Talatala, Atala, Sutala, etc., down to Patala Loka at the bottom. And then we have space. And we have an ocean. That's the halfway point, more or less. The ocean is halfway point, I think. A little below halfway. And of course on the ocean there's the Seisha holding up this whole Bhumandala and the Patala Loka and all the planetary system. Bhumandala and then other lokas above. And then the ocean goes down to the bottom. So that is the structure. It's more or less a circular Bhumandala in the middle of a sphere, which is the universe. And the bottom part is full, filled up with water. Then we have a Shesha holding up the whole upper part, the Bhumandala. And Bhumandala below, we got the lower planetary systems, the Bhumandala surface, the islands around it. Then we got Mount Meru in the middle. And then we got planets like Sun, etc., rotating around the Svargasphere. And then above that, we have the higher planetary systems. So the measurements are actually given. The different measurements of the different islands and the oceans, and by this we can figure out the circumference and the diameter of the whole universe on the inner shell. And then of course the shell again is composed of different elements like water and fire and ether, etc., earth, different layers of shell which get 10 times bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as they go out. So that composes the whole universe, of which there's many, many, many. So that is the basic description of a universe within which we'll have Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Kshiradaksha Vishnu, and the avatars appearing, and Brahma appearing, and
Brahma then creates the bodies of all the living entities within there and puts them in the different planetary systems. So the whole purpose is to show that creation of the universe, which is created by the Supreme Lord and assisted by Lord Brahma. And the whole purpose of the universe is to accommodate the material bodies that Brahma produces so they can live and enjoy in different places. So the fifth canto describes the place that is called Stana or Sthiti, one of the topics of the Bhagavatam, to describe the planetary system. So here we'll, in this particular canto, we'll get a description of these places, including the Bhumandala and the earthly sphere and Bharadvarsha, etc., which is inhabited by human beings. So there is a distinct difference between this description and the description we find in modern science. There are similarities also, but we find that the differences seem to outweigh the similarities, because we see here the Earth is going around Mount Meru, etc., or the Sun is going around Mount Meru with all the other planets, etc., which is not what we seem to observe in modern science, where the Sun is in the center and all the planets are going around there, including the Earth, and then the Moon is going around the Earth. So we don't see this description. Everything seems to be going around the Sun, around the Mount Meru. And Mount Meru, and therefore Bhumandala is more or less stationary and everything else is circulating around. Where in the modern conception we'll find the Sun is more or less stationary and everything else is moving around, including the Earth, and the Earth is also turning around on an axis. There's two rotations like this. And then all the other planets are also moving around. Yeah? So it's a completely different arrangement. So how do we accommodate the two? So that, of course, is the job of the Planetarium Committee or whatever, Mayapur. I don't think they figured it out yet. So how to consolidate these two things. Of course, what we think of reality is reality in a certain type of perception we have, that is our present conditioning in three dimensions or whatever we perceive it. However, that's not the only type of perception there is. Additionally, we of course see that basically the perception we see here is based upon our perception of how things operate. So we perceive things going around like this in the sky. And they seem to be going around us. So everything is described in relation to that. So it's not wrong. It's just that we take a different perspective. If you go outside and you go and look at the Earth, that's one way of doing it, like scientists do. Or if you sit on the Earth, you can explain everything in relation to this, where we're standing, and then we see the planets and the Sun and the Moon, etc. And we just explain in terms of those rotations. It's not incorrect, because using those observations, you can also predict where the planets are going to be at a certain time. It's just a different way of looking at things, that's all. And so we look at everything in relation to us, and then we describe everything in relation to that. That's basically what it does, this conception here with things moving around, etc. Whereas modern science takes this up on another view, going outside and looking at everything from another point of view. This is the broad conception is to present the universe carefully constructed, in which different types of living entities can exist in different places according to their desires and karma and the bodies that they get. Why they do this is because they have a desire to enjoy in the material world with the material bodies. So the Lord gives them opportunity to go on these different lokas and different islands and different planets, etc., the universe. And, of course, that's not the whole point. Ultimately, the whole point is to show that though Brahma creates the planetary systems and the bodies for the living entities, the Lord also has a purpose. behind all of this. So therefore, the law of karma operates for all the beings within the universe, and the Lord makes his appearance within the universe as avatar to inspire the jivas and to give teachings at all times. So in this way, the Lord indicates that the real purpose of the jiva is not to live in the material world at all, but rather get out of this whole position here. So, though we may be puzzled by the details of the fifth canto and description of the universe and its the various planetary systems, including Bhumandala, the important point is to realize that we're supposed to get out. The whole point is that this is just a temporary place constructed for the jivas to enjoy in this way or that way within the material universe according to our desires. But ultimately, the whole point is that we have to get out of this material world. The Lord gives that opportunity by appearing within the material world as avatar and giving specific instructions by which the jivas can get out.
What is the reason that the Uttaran and Uttaran, because the end of season, we see in four different area, like we get so cold, winter very cold, and some places there is no winter at all. It is not affected, all the seasons are not affected. How is it?
Well, that can be explained in terms of course, modern science. So according to the position of the Earth in relation to the Sun, therefore the rays have different angles at different seasons. That's all. Yeah? And different parts of Earth, the places in the middle tend to always get proper rays. They create warmth, whereas other places, as you go north and south, then the rays are more angular, and therefore you'll get extremes of either summer and winter, whatever like that. In terms of the Vedas, the Uttarayana is described in terms of similar explanation. The higher the sun rises in the sky, then the hotter it becomes in terms of season. So we get Uttarayana, and that becomes the high point of the hot season. And then when it's low goes Uttarayana, and then it goes Dakshinaya down to the bottom point in December, then that becomes the cold season, because the sun maximum rises at noontime very low in the sky, so therefore the angle of the rays is less, and therefore you get less. Basically the same sort of explanation is there. But in the Veda, Bhagavatam is explained not in terms of the earth in relation to the sun, but simply in terms of the how the sun rises and falls. So it goes in higher and higher orbits or lower and lower orbits.
And the other one is that we are in the dark planet, we are having a breathing process, oxygen, hydrogen, breathing and surviving in the dark. And you said about the higher planet, like about in that other planet, higher planet,
Well, they have different types of bodies, so they're less dependent, obviously. And of course, their physical systems are not exactly like ours. It's not described exactly how they work, but obviously the bodies are made of subtle material elements, so they're not so dependent upon the same elements as us. And of course, we understand that the living energies can exist in fire, so extreme heat or extreme cold, so obviously the bodies are not the same, and therefore the breathing, so-called breathing apparatus won't be the same either. They can exist in water. Varuna is living in the water.
Some of the descriptions about the fifth canto, it's like a fairy tale. How many of them have such a big chariot and how big he must be?
Yeah. So whether this is, we take it literally or not, that is subject to whatever is contention, whether it's symbolic or not. It could be symbolic also in terms of something giving an explanation of the seasons or whatnot. So that is subject to contention.
One fact is that the galaxies compared to galaxies.
Well, in one sense, yes, because we'll see that the galaxies also revolve in a circle, like things going around Mount Meru. So we have, of course, we have the sun with things revolving around it, and then we have the whole galaxy with the center and everything going around it this way also. So they're similarly placed. But of course, in modern science, the galaxies are only part of one big universe, that's all. But then again, we have the other thing that the universe actually is surrounded by a shell, so it is completely separate from other things. So that we don't see in the galaxy, there's no shell around them as such, at least what we perceive as a shell. But on the other hand, the shell could be completely different because the elements, if they're pure, we cannot perceive anyway. We cannot perceive pure earth or pure water anyway. We don't see those. All we see is mixtures here. The earth we see here is a mixture of different elements. So the earth element or the water element that make up the layers of the shell of the universe, also we can't even perceive those things. But they prevent a barrier for us to get through. So therefore, when Arjuna and Krishna went on the chariot, they had to go through, pierce through that shell and come up the other side. So you can't get out of the universe on that lower stuff. Because you say you can't get out of the solar system or you can't get out of the galaxy either. Not really. It's not so specific as far as I know. Well, it's not described in detail, but obviously there are descriptions we know of. If they go up the Himalayas, then it's cold up there. So obviously they knew there were variations in seasons. And further up north, obviously it's colder. So they also knew that. So. But there's no detailed descriptions. It was considered better that a person lives in a moderate climate than an extreme climate. That was considered a better place to live.
That is, since we are not able to see description in Bhagavatam, other things, then what is perceived currently by modern science, since there is no available relationship, so Vedas are obviously correct.
Well, how it is correct is another thing, because the observation may be completely different, that's all. And we don't have that observation either, because we're trained up in a completely different way at the present moment. If we're trained in another way, we'll see something different also. The other thing, of course, is that some persons will interpret what is said here. So, for instance, they'll equate the North Pole with Mount Meru. And based on that, then you get also a circular type of thing going around Mount Meru and different things like that. So. There's different interpretations of the different things mentioned here. Well, the thing is, we cannot see anyway. We can't see devatas. So whether they're here or not, we don't know. Of course, they do have observations of UFOs and other things available. So that's interplanetary also, if we come from other galaxies or whatever that's there. Photographs are there. If there's somebody special, I suppose he can come. Kali Yuga, nobody's very qualified, so he has not much interest in coming.
Can you say that rather than the modern science is wrong, we say that we really do not know that how the...
What's that? No, we can say is that there are two different systems. That's all. Perception. We do know that the description given in the Bhagavatam has similarities to other ancient cultures' description. So why they all have the same type of description is also peculiar. Why they would have such descriptions which are very similar. Did they all come from the same source or whatever? They have the same observation? We don't really know, but they had similar perceptions. So we will also see that, for instance, primitive cultures, they don't see like we see. It's very difficult for them to understand why we have cities, and why we live in cities, and what we're doing here, and whatever, why we have houses. They don't understand why you got houses. So perception is completely different. So their perception also, the sun and the moon and whatever, is completely different from what we perceive.
Okay.
Norse mythology, Greek mythology, so they have quite similar descriptions. higher planets, lower planets, hellish planets like this. And in the Greek mythology, they also have yugas, golden age, silver age, bronze age, iron age, similar type of thing. Yeah.
Well, that's one sun. We say that the main sun. They say we have one sun.
So where we have this, I said the geocentric version, where as far as we are concerned, yes, there's only one sun. The other things don't act as suns, so therefore we don't have to consider them because they don't affect us in the same way. So in that sense, I can say there's one sun for us.
So don't say the moon takes the reflection of the sun's light.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Bhagavatam doesn't really, it can be luminous in one sense. I think in one place it says there are kusa grass growing on the moon which causes illumination, but how that is so, I don't know. But it's not fiery, definitely. It's not a fiery body.
There are 8 million, 4 and 4 species. How the designation, how the classification is being made? 4 lakh species are being made means what? It's not described in detail, but of course we have Gandharvas, Bhutas, Kushamandas, Devatas, Rishis and sages, I suppose you can call them the different species.
I don't think it goes that detailed. They're all called Manusha. Yeah.
Even the lower planetary systems are classified?
What?
In the designation of classification.
Yeah, yeah. There are different types of beings. There are Nagas and things. Though they don't mention it. Of course, we know that, like for instance, Madhvacharya met Veda Vyas, which we go to Himalayas, we don't see him there, so obvious his vision was different. Well, the Supreme Lord can appear whenever he wants to appear. No problem with that. But that's a personal appearance. Not everybody can see that.
Hare Krishna.